A few years ago, we were traveling back from the UK, and we'd decided to stop at Istanbul on the way because we'd seen it briefly and it was so sumptuous. So anyway, going back involved a very long and tedious journey with long sleepless night at Luton Airport. So when we eventually reached Istanbul, we were absolutely exhausted, could hardly think, and we just flopped into the first hotel we could find and we fell asleep almost immediately. Some hours later, we woke up. The sun was streaming in the window. And we looked around in horror. The room was appallingly filthy. The bed linen, I'm sure, had never been washed. The carpet was crusty. The walls were grimy. We jumped up, and in no time, we settled our account, and we left the hotel, never to return. Well, that was the scene I remembered when I read Paul's words in Ephesians 5. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Wake up, the light of Christ is streaming in. I wonder if you've had that kind of experience in the spiritual world also. For hundreds of years, biblical prophets had foretold this one who was to come, this bright morning star we were singing about, this son of righteousness who was going to shine and bring light into the darkest places. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, said Isaiah, 730 years before Jesus came. And when he did, what did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn from your sins, and believe in the good news. He came to a people who had quite an experience of kingdoms. They all looked back nostalgically to the reign of their great ancestor, King David, who'd reigned in Jerusalem 1,000 years before. They knew the songs foretelling the coming of the Messiah, the greater David, who was one day going to come and rule not just Israel, but the whole world, all the nations. Currently, they were ruled by a Syrian king Herod, cruel, immoral, shrewd, but essentially a puppet of the Romans, the superpower of the day, with its occupying army. And so Jesus began to speak in Galilee, up in the north of Israel, this dark area, proclaiming a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, another king. Jesus called for repentance, a complete change of mind and a radically different way of living, starting with confession and repentance. So what's confession? It means basically saying the same thing. Just as light streamed in our hotel window and exposed the condition we were in, so the light of heaven pours into our hearts to reveal their state, that we need to change. Of course, we can choose to ignore the situation, to close the curtains, go back to sleep. Too tired. We're here anyway. We've paid the bill. We've paid for the hotel. We're booked here. We'll stay. Denial. Or we can confess. Yeah, it is a filthy place. It is not a good place to be in. But confession alone is not enough. We need to get up. We need to leave. We need to find a better place. And we needed to have a good long shower. Total immersion, a kind of baptism. We really needed that. So the call is to leave the old kingdom, the old loyalties, which have now been exposed for what they actually are. No glamour, the sham reality underneath. Only Jesus can clean our hearts and minds and prepare us for a life of fellowship with God, the holy God. Next step, put on fresh, clean clothes. We couldn't take off those clothes soon enough. Just by being in that room, they were contaminated. We had to get them off. We had to get on lovely, sweet-smelling, fresh clothes. A little picture of what we have in Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Something much deeper, much more fundamental is possible through the salvation of Jesus. Reading through Ephesians 4, there's a pretty ugly picture of the old life. Words like darkened, futile, insensitive, self-indulgent, impure, corrupt, deceitful, angry, stealing, foul-mouthed, all parts of the baggage, the old life, the old clothes, things that, as Paul says, are so shameful, it's better not even to talk about them. But I love the verses in Colossians where he talks in a little bit more detail about the new clothes, which are lovingly and graciously given to us by our Heavenly Father. you're the people of God. Capital Vineyard, you're the people of God. He loved you individually, and he chose you for his own, as he chose me. So chosen by God for this new life of love, put on the wardrobe that God has picked out. We talked about winter wardrobes before, but this is eternal wardrobe. It's amazing. It's never going to wear out. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgiving as quickly and completely as the Master forgave us. At communion, we were thinking about salvation, what God's done for us, and that is the measure that Jesus is asking us to show to each other. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Okay. New place. Have a good bath. Put on your new clothes. And you're ready to live in the light. Well, Graham's going to pick up the next stage of this life.
Well, the question on my mind this morning is, how should we then live? How do we live in the light? What does that actually mean? So we'll just flick on to the next slide. Thanks. So Jesus said quite clearly, you know, it's interesting when you talk to people, often they start off in their response to you saying, well, Jesus never said, and then they say something that he did say, usually. And so let's see what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus was the light, is the light that comes into the world. The light that Isaiah wrote about, the prophets of the Old Testament, and the people longed for the light to shine. And Jesus plainly says, I am the light. Next one, Matthew. We'll see in verse 16, there's a quotation here, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. This is continuing on from what Rosemary was saying. Those living in the land of the shadow of death. So we live in the land of the shadow of death. That's the darkness. It's interesting, last night when Suzanne was talking to one of the people in the street, and she was talking about the Lord, he said, I'm from the other side. And she said, what do you mean? He said, the dark side. So it's interesting, isn't it? People do know the dark and the light. And they understand it. It's not so difficult. And 2 Corinthians next. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Well, there's quite a lot in that, but the whole idea of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I mean, has anyone had an experience of seeing the face of Christ? It's strangely, when you read through, even in the New Testament, you read about the face of Jesus. And so we can only conclude that there is a revelation of the Holy Spirit where we come to face with Jesus. And we then understand his nature and God's love for us. And it's something I've pondered on a lot over the years, what the face of Jesus is like. And I guess God wants us to seek after that. I mean, Moses, you know, what Moses longed for was to see God face to face. And I think that's in us too. And Jesus has come so that we can see what God is like. And next one, 1 John 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So this is talking about the consequences of walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. In other words, we get on well together and we love each other and we're interested in each other and we support each other and we share the deep things of God with one another. And we are purified from sin. Then in Matthew, we read, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And so, you know, this is talking about our body, you know, who we are, our physical body. And our eye being like a light that shines into the darkness in our bodies and in our soul and brings light. And we can go from being full of darkness to being full of light. And I guess that's what we were praying for this man last night, to turn from darkness to light. Next one. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And although we've focused this morning specifically on Jesus being the light of the world, and it's been in our worship time and our prayer time and our communion time, the Holy Spirit mediates that to us. You know, it's through the Spirit. And therefore, when we seek after God, we can expect that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us things that are seen in the light, and maybe even things seen in the darkness, or not seen in the darkness, but are there. And it's interesting that Paul talks about the things that we receive from God being foolishness to the world. If to a person without the Spirit, it just seems like foolishness. And, you know, we are so afraid of being foolish, you know. The worst thing that a teacher can do is say something to make a student feel foolish for asking a silly question or something, you know. And we have this sort of wound in us from being made to look foolish in front of other people, which is quite easy to do with me anyway. And so, in fact, the revelation we have, our knowledge of God, is foolishness to people who do not have the revelation, do not understand. And so we should not be afraid of sounding foolish, because if we're constantly trying to sound clever and wise, we might actually miss what the Spirit is saying. So I think that we need to just loosen up a bit and be prepared to be foolish some of the time and say what God is saying to us and believe it and act upon it. Which one are we on now? 1 Corinthians, right? Philippians 2. This is about living in the light. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So this is a further transition in the understanding of Jesus being the light, that we shine like stars, that we become a source of light to the world. And that light that is in Jesus is in us. And we participate in the divine nature, the Bible says. And so we become like stars that shine in the darkness, in the night sky. And moving on from that, in Luke chapter 11, we read, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it'll be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light in you. So I think we'll just flick past the next one to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. So if you're wondering about what the future holds, you have to be prepared for things that no eye has seen. No ear has heard. You know, we do not live mundane lives that just go on in routine day after day, and that's been true of our lives, and pray it'll be true of yours. Because what God has prepared for us is so unique and so different from the normal sort of life. There's a well-known book called The Normal Christian Life, and as you read it, you begin to realize that it should be called The Abnormal the Abnormal Life, because the normal Christian life is really different. Yeah. The next one. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And so this again emphasizes, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit and listening and spending time with God and being filled with the Spirit. So when we think about walking in the light, there are all the things about the quality of life that we live and the quality of our ethics and our morality and our love and our compassion and all those things. But there's more than that. There's also, you know, that's the sort of basic sort of groundwork that has to be laid in, down in our lives. But there's more than that. There's what is yet to come. And so I feel that what the Lord is saying today is that we don't stop here. We don't, you know, put up our tent and lie back in the sun and say, this is the good life. Because there is more. There's things that we've never even thought of or considered that when we walk in the Spirit will so transform us and our lives that we will go on and on into things that we hadn't expected in the Spirit. And there'll be revelations to come. And there are revelations to come. There is direction to find. There's healing to take place. There's all kinds of things yet to come. And so I feel that walking in the light is really dynamic, a dynamic life. And it never just sort of descends into mundaneness at all. Constantly we're being lifted out of that into something more exciting and more vibrant and more full of purpose and life than we ever expected. And so I feel that if we feel there's got to be some change in our life, you're probably on the right track, because, you know, it's coming and it will come. So let's just pray about that, shall we? Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you that you have come into the world and shed your light on our path through your word and through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And you've revealed to us so much about the Father. We just thank you, Lord. Praise your name. And I thank you, Lord, for the journey that you've set us on. And I just pray for each one of us right now today, Lord, that as we look to seek your face, Lord, as we look into your presence, that you will reveal the light. The light will shine in our hearts and fill us with light. So we'll see and understand your greatness and your purposes for us that are greater than anything else. And I pray, Father, that you will open up our lives and our future, that we will fulfill the things that you want us to do, Lord. And we'll discover the greater joy of living a life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.